All right. Thank you, Vicky, for that special. Praise the Lord for the fact that he washes away all of our guilty stains. Amen? Well, I am so grateful that I'm forgiven. And I'm certainly not worthy of that. I certainly don't deserve eternal life, but I'm just so grateful that the Lord has forgiven me, that he died on a cross for my sins. Amen? All right. I want you to take your Bibles. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. All right, here in Luke chapter 24, this is the last chapter of Luke, and we are on the third day of the Lord's, after the Lord's death at Calvary, and there's a huge stir of emotion that's taking place for those who have followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows what was going on in their heads, but there was an awful lot of things bouncing around in their heads. Many were disappointed and disillusioned at maybe how things had played out. There was no doubt that the followers of Christ, those who put their faith and trust in him, were really believing that he was going to overthrow the Roman government. You see, because in the Old Testament, when they talked about the Lord's coming, his first coming, they just equated that with the fact that he would come and that he would set up his kingdom, because they would read that in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, where, for unto us a son is given, about that he would be born, the government would rest upon his shoulders. And you put those together and you think, well, he's coming and he's going to set up his rule. And so they would see his coming like this pulpit, and then they would see maybe like back here, this back wall, as his rule and his reign. And they just lumped those together. That's what they believed. And yet they didn't realize that, we got maybe 16 feet from this pulpit to this back wall, something like that, that they didn't realize that that represented a 2,000-year period. They didn't realize that he would come and that he would go to a cross for our sins. Praise the Lord for that. That he would go to a cross for our sins, and then he would be buried and rise again 40 days later, go up to the Father and sit at the right hand of the Father for this dispensation of time, the age of the Gentiles, the church age, the age of grace would take place. And you know that we're right around 2,000 years, right about right now. We're right there at that point, which means I think he could be coming at any time. And isn't that encouraging when you just think of that? If you know Christ as your Savior, that's a wonderful thought. So this 2,000-year period, so the Jews just didn't quite get it. They thought he would come and set up his reign. That's what they thought he was going to do, that he would set up his kingdom. When he died on the cross, many felt their hopes slip away. What's gone on? This thing hasn't played out the way that I thought it would. Again, and it was so with his followers. It was so with those disciples, because you remember every time that he brought up the fact that he would be brought before wicked men, that he would die, that he would have to go away. Whenever he would refer to that, whenever he would speak of that, it would just kind of go in one ear and out the other with the disciples. They couldn't process that. It just wasn't hitting home with them, because it wasn't what they believe was going to happen, so they couldn't understand it. And so we find them on this, we find a couple of disciples here, and they are on a walk. Remember, again, it's the third day after he died on the cross, and they are on a walk from Jerusalem to a city called Emmaus, a town called Emmaus, and they don't seem to be doing very, very well. Something that really all of us can relate to. So we're talking about walking, and that's what we read a couple of verses out of 1 John chapter 1 about walking with Christ, that if we'll walk with him and if we'll have fellowship with him. But listen, they weren't doing good. They were very, very sad, and that sadness was brought about by the doubts that they had. And so I want to talk to you today about what to do when doubts arise. And we're going to take a look at this story about these two disciples that were on a walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. With that, let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we come before you this morning, and we're so grateful to you. Thank you again for your goodness to us. Thank you again for the promises that we have in Christ. We thank you that you've given to us eternal life for those of us who have placed our faith and trust in what you did for us when you died on the cross 2,000 years ago. We thank you that you loved us. The Bible says that we love you, but because you first loved us, you were willing to come out of heaven and put on a human body and become one of us. You're the Son of God. You're God who was manifested in the flesh. And we thank you that you did that on our behalf. And we thank you that you went to a cruel cross. We thank you that you were buried and that you rose again. And Lord, we thank you that right now you're at the right hand of the Father and you intercede for us. You pray for us. And we have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So we thank you for that. What a wonderful thing that you've given us these things. What a wonderful thing that you've given to us a precious Bible that we can put our trust in, that we can stand upon its promises. We thank you for all of these things. And with all of this, we're going to have heaven as well. We're going to be with you forever and ever. So we thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that you would be with those of us who know you. We look at these two disciples who are walking along and we see that they were discouraged and they were sad. And we certainly find times in our own life that that happens to us. And we pray that we would learn the lesson today about a walk with you, about drawing close to you, about trusting in your word. Would you help us that way? To just keep our eyes fixed on Christ. And then, Lord, if there's somebody here today that they don't know Christ as their Savior, just like each and every one of us were once at a place in our life where we didn't know Christ. I think way back 40-some years ago, Lord, when I didn't know you, and I thank you that you worked in my heart and showed me that Christ died for me. And I thank you, Lord, that you saved me and that I have eternal life. And Lord, I pray for anybody today that doesn't know that you'd speak to their hearts and show them how much you love them, that you died on a cross for them, specifically for them. And I pray that we'll see some people come to know Christ as their Savior as a result of that. So now we pray that you would bless, that you'd speak to hearts. Lord, help me as I speak. I don't want to say something I don't need to say. Help me not to go there. But help me to honor Christ with everything that I say. I pray that you would use me. Lord, help me just be a conduit that you can work through. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you could do your work in each and every heart today. You know all of the needs that are represented in this congregation today. So I pray that Christ will be lifted up and glorified, and we thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we take a look here at this story. It is a very compelling story. It is really one of my favorite stories in the Bible. In fact, our church, when we were down at Treasure Valley Baptist Church, when we were leaving here, they knew that this story meant a lot to me. And I have a picture of this very story of Jesus with the two disciples along this road, a windy road, and he's having conversation with them. Although they didn't know it was Christ, they thought it was some stranger, and we'll see that here. So these disciples, as they're heading along, it says here in verse 13 of Luke chapter 24, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Now, 70 furlongs is a little over 7 miles, about 7.5 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened, everything that took place. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another?" When he says, "What manner of communications," he's basically saying, "Hey, what are you guys talking about? What's this conversation you're having?" So he says, "What manner of communications that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" I mean, it was pretty obvious to any onlooker and certainly to the Lord Jesus Christ that these guys, their body language and their countenance on their face was very sad. I'm sure they probably walked down that road chatting about things and they were probably hunched over and there was certainly no briskness in their step. And anybody could see that these guys are having a bad day. So the Lord says, "What manner of communications are these that you have one with another and you're sad?" sad? What's going on? Well, I'm going to talk, first of all, this sad walk of unbelief. That's this first point that I'm going to bring out, the sad walk of unbelief. Here they are. They're on this 7.5-mile journey, which is 60 furlongs. They're talking about these recent events that have taken place. This is the third day since Christ gave his life and went to the cross. And they're talking about Christ. They probably are talking about maybe some of the things that were unfolding as that crucifixion took place. We don't know everything that we don't know what they were talking about, but they had a conversation with one another. So the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says here, he approaches them and he joins them, and he's unrecognized. And it says that their eyes were holden. They were, they just couldn't see. They were really blinded to who he was. And really, they were blinded. There's no doubt the reason why they were blinded to who he was. It was because of their unbelief. It was because of the fact that they didn't believe some of the reports that they had just heard not too long before, earlier in the day. And Christ told them over and over that he would rise again the third day, that he would give his life. And they heard a report earlier that Christ was not in the grave, that he had been risen. Well, they didn't want to believe that. So their eyes were holden. And that is just a symptomatic or descriptive of somebody who does not have faith. He asked, what are you talking about? Why are you sad? Listen, life is full of a lot of stresses. Amen? It is. It's just there's a whole lot of things in life that just get kind of thrown onto us. Now, we didn't play a whole ton of games with our kids growing up. We did here and there. We were always busy. We did a lot of things with our kids, but we would play some games here and there. One of them was the game of life. You ever played the game of life? And the game of life, you know, wasn't my favorite game. But, you know, yeah, you start off and you're cruising along and everything's going great. And then all of a sudden you hit a square and you're like, married? How did that happen? I got married and then all of a sudden I got twins, triplets? What? This is crazy. And so that kind of reminds me how life really does go. You go along in life and all of a sudden it's like, I didn't really see this one coming. Some of you can, fill in those blanks in your own heads. There's things that hit us, and we're not prepared for them. And so life is, that's how life goes. It makes it unique, it makes it challenging, but it's just part of what we have to deal with. And, what happens is it can really get our emotions involved, and we begin to hit some big mood swings. Many of us really don't need to ever go to Silverwood because we're already living the roller coaster life. Yeah, we have a lot of ups and downs, and maybe some of us more than others. You know, when these emotions get out of control, listen, we can be kind of little babies about it, and we just don't have any settledness to us. I love what it says at the end of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, that when God takes us through some things, he's trying to produce something inside of us, a stability, a strength. And the end of that verse says, after that ye have suffered a while, this is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, it's a good verse to write down and look at later. He says, after that ye had suffered a while, make you perfect. And that word perfect doesn't mean sinlessly perfect, it just means complete. That it'll make you, these will make you perfect, mature. And it says, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know, it's just good to be settled when we're going through some tough times. Are you the kind of individual that people like to be around when you're going through something because you just are really calm about it? Because you've learned how to just stay settled. You've learned how to just trust the Lord and say, listen, there's just nothing to get all freaked out about. This thing is going to work out well. Well, people gravitate to that kind of an individual because there's a settledness. And that's what the Lord wants us to have when we go through trials, when we go through difficulties. Sometimes life hits us hard, and sometimes we can be overwhelmed, kind of like that I Love Lucy episode with Lucy in the chocolate factory. I don't know if you remember that one. Yeah, she was. Everything was fine when that conveyor belt was going at a certain pace. But then when it speeded up, oh my, she was a bit overwhelmed. Does life hit you sometimes that way, where the conveyor belt is speeded up and it's like, so who sped up the conveyor belt? Slow it down. And things come our way and we're just not prepared for it. You know, the Bible says this in Psalm 138 and verse 3, in the day when I cried, thou answerest, and strengtheneth me with strength in my soul. It's just good to go to the Lord when we're overwhelmed. He's so good at comforting us and giving us strength. Psalm 142 and verse 3 says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. The Lord knows what we're going through, and it's just good for us to learn to just call upon him. You know, I don't think these disciples, apparently not, and I could pretty much, if I was a betting man, I'd say that they were not really trusting the Lord and calling upon him. I believe if they would have called upon him and said, Lord, help us. We're doubting. We don't want to doubt. We want to do what's right. We want to obey. But they were along on this walk of unbelief. And when you're caught up in an emotional toil or this sadness of unbelief, a 7.5 mile journey can seem like 107.5 miles of journey. The road can be very, very long, and it can be very, very tedious when we are not trusting in him. But even though, listen, folks, even though life may get chaotic and it can be overwhelming and it can just be incredibly busy, yet it can still be a life that's filled with joy for us as believers if we just simply learn to walk by faith. Now, I know I say that as it's so simple. Yeah, no, it's just learning how to trust him and how to just, you know, look unto him when things aren't really going the way that we want them to go. Now, I'm preaching this to myself because, listen, I have a tendency to worry just like any of you, but I want to just be able to get past that and just say, Lord, I know you're in control of this. I know that your hands are all around this. And when we go that route and not learning to trust Christ, and we allow our emotions to get the best of us, then Christ is going to be unrecognizable to you, just as much as it was to those two disciples. They didn't even realize that the stranger that began to walk along with them was the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because they were too just overwrought in their emotions about, hey, this didn't play out the way that we thought that they would. And listen, for us as believers, look what we have before us. I mean, we've just gone through a pandemic, which somehow continues to be prolonged, right? These new variants have come out, Delta variant, and then, you know, we're talking about vaccinations and this whole COVID-19, what we went through, and then, you know, things that are coming out of the White House and some of these measures, things that are happening on the south border, mask mandates, and you just name it. That is the recipe for stress and for worry. Amen? Yes, certainly. And listen, we're all human. I think if you were to say, oh, none of that even phases me, well, I kind of wonder, have you been in a coma or what? Really, because we're human and these things do affect us. But how do we respond to that? How do we counter that? Do we go to the Lord and just learn to trust him? Do we get into his word and trust his word? Well, that's what he wants us to do. Amen. You know, when we don't do that, when we get caught up in our emotions and we allow the stress level to get so high, then you know what begins to happen? Just like they couldn't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to recognize the things that God's doing in our life. You know that God is doing a whole ton of things in our life. And if we're walking with him, we'll recognize it. You know, I just think as I look back at Brother Hank, Thursday night after he left VBS and he was heading home, he headed down Prairie and made a right on Hutter, and he said not too far down the road that he never even saw the guy. The guy was walking alongside the road completely dressed in black. Maybe there was something from his knees down that were maybe light colored that he saw at the last moment, and he turned and he said, if God didn't show me part of that guy's anatomy, you'd have run him over. Right? And you know, sometimes something like that will happen and we just go, oh, okay, and we get through. But you know, I appreciate the fact that he realized God was in that. That was the Lord that showed him something. That was the Lord that revealed a man that he could have run over. And you know, sometimes when we're just not walking with Christ, things happen in our life and we go, oh, what a great coincidence. No, how about, thank you, Lord. That was your hand. That was you moving in my life and keeping something from happening that could have been tragic. How often does that happen? I hate to think of all the times that I just bypassed things and just skirted around them or got through them and didn't even acknowledge that to God. Boy, it's just good for us to learn to walk by faith and to trust the Lord. And you know, when we do, we'll see things. We'll go, Lord, that was you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you that you allowed that to happen. Or even something that might even seem negative at the time. Just like these two guys didn't see a resolution of what had taken place. They didn't see the risen Christ yet, so they were down. Maybe some things have happened in our lives that we don't see how it's going to play out yet, but we just know, Lord, I don't know how this is going to play out. And it doesn't really look very, very positive, but you've got it under control. Just like with this pandemic and all that's taken place in this last, year and a half, however long it has been back last year in March when it all started, it's just good for us to just say, Lord, you've got this. Yeah, that's just kind of one of the little phrases, you know, people like to use. I got this. I got this. Well, don't you think God's got this? Listen, I do know that. I do know that God's got this, and he's allowing it for a reason. And you know, a lot of people have come to Christ as a result of it, but he wants more people to be saved. His son died on a cross so that people could be saved. And he'll use this thing to bring people to Christ. And maybe we just need to walk along and just go, you know what? I don't see this thing resolved yet. And it looks really problematic, but I turn to you, Lord, because you've got all this in your hands. And we know Romans 8:28 is still in the book, right? For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, right? Yeah, those things will work out as long as we just learn how to trust him. What a great thing. It's just good to be able to just trust him. And folks, when we do that, we'll begin to recognize his hand. Well, they didn't recognize it. They didn't recognize that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll just say this. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, then listen, you're going to have some doubts in your life just like a Christian is. You're not going to know where you're going to go when you die. Well, the Bible tells us that you can know that. You can know without a doubt that you can be saved because Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins. This Bible tells us so, that he was buried and that he rose again, and he wants to give you eternal life. Now, for us as believers, we would just simply say to you, listen, there's no way I can show you Christ, but I tell you what, he lives in my life. And I know he's real, and he saved me, and he speaks to me through this book, through the person of the Holy Spirit. And let me just tell you, he is real, and that he is worthy for you to put your faith and trust in because he loves you, and he wants to save you and give you everlasting life. What a great thing. Now, again, for those of us who do know him, know this, that he is working in and with you all along the way, many times, so many times, unforeseen. We don't see him, but he's working. And it's just good for us to stop and say, Lord, help me to be able to see you more than I maybe am seeing you presently. That's a good prayer for us to pray. Which brings me to the second point, and that is to be aware that there are divine circumstances along the way. There are divine circumstances that take place along the way. That certainly took place with these men. Don't ever question what God is doing in your life, because God is doing something in your life. The Bible says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And God loves to work in your life. And he wants to work in my life. And he'll work to the level that's equal to our submissiveness. If we'll just submit to him, he'll be able to work to a high level. That's what the way he's planned this whole thing is. He wants to do a work in your life. And so don't ever question the fact that he's doing something in your life. God is drawing it all up. And he knows it, forwards and backwards. He knows it all the way through the most intimate detail. He knows everything about you. Even David said this in Psalm 139. And verses 7 and 8, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. David said, no matter where I go in this life, one thing I know for certain is you're there. And you're there, and your presence is always with me. I think, Christian, if we get that settled in our hearts, that he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If we get that in our heart, that's just going to take us up several notches in our Christian life. That'll just help to mature us to a great degree, just to know you're always with me and you're always wanting my best. And so it ought to be our desire and our heart's desire that we want to just praise the Lord and glorify Christ in our lives. But God, the Lord is always wanting to do the best in our lives. Verses 17 and 18, we go now over to 17 and 18, and he says this, he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Are you a stranger around these parts? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? So, you know, the Lord Jesus says, what are these, what communications are these that you have? What are you guys talking about? So he asked them again about their sadness, and they respond, are you a stranger? Do you live in a cave? Now, they didn't say that, but basically they were saying, you know, listen, haven't you gone online and read about these things? Social media, it's all over. And verse 19, and the first part, he says, he said unto them, I love this. He says unto them, what things? What things? I love how Christ prompts them with this question, what things? Imagine that the Lord himself, and I say this with all reverence, but the Lord Jesus Christ played dumb. He played dumb with them. So maybe it's okay to play dumb at times, which I'm just very good at. I'm just a natural at, okay? But the Lord just plays dumb with them. What things are you talking about? And verses 19 through 24, it says, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, of course, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And I'm sure they're looking at this stranger like, are you getting it now? And then they said, but we trusted, listen, we had trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We believed he was going to redeem Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. They were early there at the grave on that Sunday morning, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. So basically, these two disciples, when he says what things, they basically spilled their guts in their response, all right? They just kind of let it all out concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a great prophet, mighty in word and deed, the Son of God, they said, how he was condemned to death and then he was crucified. I mean, I wonder how animated they were. I mean, they were sad, but then they look at him like, where have you been? They said, we trusted that it would be he that would redeem Israel. Again, they had believed that, we believed he was going to come and set up his kingdom, that he would overthrow the Romans and that he would begin to rule and reign as we've read about in his word. But we don't think so. He said, today is the third day and there's nothing going on here. We haven't seen him. Now we've heard about some women that went to the grave and they saw some angels that said he was alive. Some of the men went and looked at the grave, didn't see him. You know how women can be so emotional, always seeing things. It doesn't say that, but you know, some goofy men, how sometimes we think. That's probably what they're thinking. You know those ladies, you know. Yet, you know, it was the ladies that got to find out before the men. Because they had more faith. And yet they just kind of brushed it off like, I don't know about that. Well, then the Lord turns a corner here and he pounces on these two. By the way, it's blessed pouncing because it comes from the Lord. Verses 25 and 26, he says, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And he says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Here is where the Lord seems to say, these poor fools, and he loves them because they're his children. I mean, those are the disciples that were following him. He says, no doubt he's looking at them and he says, "These poor fools don't deserve my correction, but I love them so much that I don't want to give up on them." I mean, we can be so foolish, can't we? Yeah, we're just right like these two disciples. We're just like them in so many ways. But in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4, these are great verses. It says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," listen to this verse, verse 4, "but God, who was rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us." God in his great mercy, even though we were vile and we were away from God in our sin, and we were just, we just loved our sin, didn't we? We just loved to just go about and it was all about us. But God loved us. But God, who was rich in mercy, what did he do? He gave his life for us. He sent his son to die on a cross for us. What a wonderful thing that he did that. And the Lord Jesus looks at these two and recognizes the fact that, listen, they had just spilled their guts. He had caught them red-handed. They didn't have an excuse because they basically just incriminated themselves with what they had just said. Unlike my daughter Hannah way back in the day when she was about 3.5 years old, and I wrote it down in my Bible. I still have it in the book of Genesis right next to the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. Back in the day when, she was about 3.5, I found her at the kitchen table with a bunch of donuts. And I said, "Hannah, don't make such a mess with the donut that she was eating. Don't make such a mess with these donuts," for she was just totally full of chocolate. She was very messy. And she responded, "Daddy, it's not my fault. It's the donut's fault." That's how she responded. Well, listen, these guys didn't have an excuse. And he chides them right here. He chides them. He scolds them. He lectures them. A stern rebuke. It was really like a verbal punch in the face. I think you get the picture. The Lord calls them fools for not believing these things. Listen, that's a good question to ask ourselves. Can you and I take a good rebuke without being so offended? You know, the Lord speaks to us through his word, and sometimes it hits us right between the eyes. Listen, sometimes, if that would have been us on that road to Emmaus, we might have just responded after he said that, "Oh, thou fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." We might have just responded, "Well, you can just leave now. Well, no one talks to me like that." You know, sometimes we're just not good about taking a rebuke. It's good for us to take a rebuke, especially when it applies. That's why, again, as I referred to just a moment ago, we hear preaching. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'll be bringing up that verse tonight, "Despise not prophesyings." Prophesyings are preaching. That's preaching. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to that church at Thessalonica, said, "Don't despise preaching, because preaching will get right in your face. And preaching will say something to you that you don't want to hear. And I don't need to hear this." And many a Christian has walked out the door and said, "I'm not going to go back to that church." But you know what? It's good for us to hear that about ourselves. It's good for us to hear where we're failing. It's good for us to be, spiritually speaking, just kind of just sitting there, in a pool of our own blood What I mean is the Spirit is, the Holy Spirit is just taking the sword of the Spirit and just jabbing us. And you know, when our hearts are right with God, you know how we respond. The best way is, Lord, you're right. You brought up these things in my heart, and I haven't been doing right. But thank you for revealing that in my heart, and I want to get it right. And when the message is over, you come up to the altar and you just get before God and you say, God, thank you for revealing that. Thank you for showing me for where I've failed. Thank you for revealing that the fact that I've been away from you. I've not been in your book. I've not been telling others about Christ. I've not been calling upon you. Thank you for showing me these things. And you know, God has a way of, but he does it in loving kindness, folks. But he has a way of just giving us a good stern rebuke. And we need to hear that. And he gave that to these two disciples. And listen, folks, we can be, in regard to all of that, we can be like that at times. It's like we're living our life, you know, on a baseball field. I see Deacon there, and he's a baseball player, and I think about how life can be like being on a baseball field, and everyone else is an umpire. And, what do you think? You're making a call like that for? You know, sometimes somebody says something to us and we don't like it. Just like a ball player doesn't like what an umpire says when he's disagreeing. We can be contentious and we can have knee-jerk reactions to something just because we just don't like to be called out. It's like the high school basketball coach who spotted a cell phone lying on the floor after the game. Here, he said to the ref, I think this is yours. What makes you think it's my phone? Asked the ref. Easy, the coach said. It says you have 10 missed calls. It's good for us, folks, to learn how to take a rebuke. It's good for us to know that we've done wrong. And it's good when somebody in kindness, and that's the right way to deliver a message. Sometimes it's not easy. It's not easy for parents sometimes to have to confront your children and say, listen, you've been doing wrong. And we love you as mom and dad, but we don't want to see you go down that same road. Amen? And we want to point this out to you, but we want you to know we love you and we're praying for you, but that's just not a good road for you to go on. That's a rebuke, young person, that you ought to take and say, thank you, mom and dad. Thank you that you care about me. Sometimes it's a brother with another brother in church, and there's something that's out of line, and sometimes you got to get with that brother and say, listen, the Bible says we're to do it in the spirit of meekness, like in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. So we want to do it in the right way, because considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted, it says. But it's just good to sometimes have to, it's not pleasant, but it's just good to do the right thing. Sometimes to sit with a brother and say, brother, I think you were out of line. I think maybe what happened there between you and that other brother, you need to get that taken care of. And I say that to you because I love you. Listen, we do that because we love people, don't we? And so sometimes delivering a message is not an easy thing. But we care about somebody, and so sometimes we have to deliver that message. And sometimes we're the recipient of that kind of a message. Listen, consider that God can do things with people who will listen. God can do things with people who will listen. I think we stagnate or we slow down our development when we're just not teachable. And sometimes God has to put us to the side because nobody can tell us anything. So it's just good for us to have a humble spirit and to listen and to say, thank you for telling me that. I need to think about those things and tell somebody you appreciate them, that they went out on a limb to tell you something. And then these two disciples, again, listen, they listened. They listened to what the Lord said. He begins to go now through the word with them, either verbally, and I think that's probably what the Lord Jesus did. He's the living word. It's all right there. I don't think he had to have any parchments. He could have. It doesn't say. But they went along, and he was pointing out the Son of God through the Old Testament scriptures. And they soaked in everything that he spoke of as they walked along that road. They were literally spellbound, for lack of a better word. They were mesmerized by, wow, the things that he was saying to them as he goes along and shows them. Because there in verse 27, it says this, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Again, they still didn't know it was Christ, but he shows them all the things that were spoken about him in the Old Testament scriptures. So this last point is just God's ultimate goal is for us as we journey along. What is God's ultimate goal? Well, that we would walk with Christ, that we would have our focus on him, that we would learn to walk by faith and not by sight. For it is to have Christ glorified in us, but it is also for us to be strengthened in Christ. That verse again in verse 27, that through everything that we go through in this life, the Lord is always seeking to point us to his word. And that's why it's so important for us to be in this word. Just in the last few Wednesday nights, I've been just emphasizing us to be in it, to memorize it, but also to meditate upon the word of God. Because if we allow it to get into our hearts, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's for every one of us, that we would want the word of Christ to be in our hearts and that we would be thinking about it. And as we do that, it just keeps us close to the Lord and walking with him. And then here in verses 28 and 29, it says, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them." So they get to Emmaus, and the Lord is just planning to continue down the road. But they're ready to turn off and head home. And they just see that he's continuing to walk on, and they said, no, don't go. They had just been enjoying that time as he was going over the scriptures with them. And they did not want him to continue to go. They said, no, please come and stay with us. Come into our house. They wanted to hear more. They begged that he would stay with them. You know, there's just a good lesson right there is how much do we really want God's fellowship? How much do we want the fellowship of the Spirit of God who opens up this book to us? I mean, do we come to this book with some expectations? Do we really seek God to really do something? Someone asked a pastor, do your people come to church with expectations? And he says, yes, they expect to be out by noon. But what about our expectations? Do we have expectations of, Lord, I want to hear from you, from your word. Would you speak to me? I need to hear your voice coming out of those pages. And you know, the Lord will never disappoint when we come to him with a right heart. The psalmist said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I want to behold some wondrous things. And you know, so many times as I've read that book, now there's been times when I've read it and just read it and gone on and nothing happened. That was my bad because I didn't come into it with any expectations. I was usually too much in a hurry. But when I've taken the time and just got before it and had some good dialogue between me and the Lord and some good conversation and then opened his word and said, Lord, show me some things, the Lord never disappoints. His word just jumps off the page and it just speaks to my heart. And sometimes it gets a hold of my emotions and God brings up some wonderful memories and the Lord wants to do some great things. But it's a good question for us to ask. Do we get into this word? Is there something burning inside of us as we read his word or has it just become blasé? The Lord is trying to show us that the kind of spirit he wants us to have in regard to our relationship with him, to stay in prayer and in his word, to stay close to him as you travel this road. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, keeping our eyes on him and seeking to have fellowship with him. Just as we read in that verse earlier when we read together in our scripture reading. Now we look at verses 30 and 31. And it says, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them that he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. This is the first time that they realize who they're in company with. It says their eyes were open and they knew him. I mean, it just hit them. You're the Lord. And then he vanished out of their sight. So as quickly as they realized who this was, the Lord vanishes out of out of their sight. You know, he made the point. He wanted them to recognize who he was. I'm the risen Christ. And here they were having fellowship with him all along that journey, and they didn't realize it. Folks, we need to make sure to maintain that fellowship with him. You think about former times, or maybe you're right there right now, but you think about times in your life when you just had some wonderful fellowship with Christ. I think back when I first got saved, how wonderful it was to get saved and to talk to God. I didn't really know a whole lot that took place in my life, but I knew God, and it was just sweet, and it was rich. And then through the years, I've just had some wonderful fellowship through the years. Not always been perfect, and I've certainly gotten away, and I've gotten away from this book at times. But what a wonderful thing it is for us to just not take it for granted. Just like you should never take the relationship that you have with your wife or with your husband or with your children for granted. And I don't think you do, but sometimes we can get routine about things, right? Every one of us. And we can become routine in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, if we learn how to walk with him and seek his face, we'll begin to see his hand. Our eyes will be open and we'll go, that was the Lord. And we'll do the same thing if we're learning to walk by faith. We'll see things happen in our life. We'll say, that was God doing that. God's working in all of this. This whole thing that's happening in our country, God's behind it, and he's in control, and he's working things out. And he's giving us an opportunity as Christians, as churches, to reach people with the gospel. The last thing we want to do is just to sequester ourselves in this building. It's like, oh, well, I wonder if the government's going to come and get us. Let them come and get us. I mean, it may happen one day. I don't say that lightly, but we just got a duty to do. And we got to tell people about Christ. And we've got to be different so people see something different in us. And hopefully they see Christ in us. Amen? And so let us just keep our eyes on him. What a blessing it is when I talk to brothers and sisters in Christ that are really going through some things. They're going through some trials, but there's a bright, shining face that's still facing me, that's still staring at me. And I'm like, okay, you've got joy, and you're going through this. You just found out you had cancer, and you know that it's terminal, and you're already at stage 4, and things don't look good. But, well, that's because the Lord's given me that. That's because I know he's in charge. And if he wants to turn this around, he can do it. But it looks like I'm going to go be with him, and I'm excited about that. And you know what? You can't manufacture that. Right. And I've been with a lot of the saints on their deathbed and watched them actually expire and go to be with the Lord. And I watched them just have a smile on their face all the way till the end. And you don't make that up. You can't fabricate that, folks. And what a wonderful thing if we can show that to a lost world, that they can see something inside of us. Verse 32, it says, and they said one to another, after he vanishes, they had to have looked at each other. I don't know the name of the one disciple, but the one was named Cleopas. And I'm sure that the one says to Cleopas, Cleopas, you know who that was? Oh, yeah, I know who that was. I think we both realized that right before he vanished. That was the Lord. And then he says, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? This is the blessing that God gave to them as they were on that journey, and they recognized it in the aftermath, you know, almost when it was almost too late. But the Lord was so good that he revealed himself to them, and he showed himself and said, see, I have risen. And then he disappears. But what a difference it made in them. They were not the same. And folks, again, when we just get into his word and let his word do it what his word is designed to do, when the Spirit of God works through his word, it'll begin to burn inside of us. And it'll just begin to be real and alive. And boy, we look forward to reading this every day because God speaks to us through his word. And just as they looked at one another and said, boy, did not his word burn within our hearts as he walked with us by the way? And it says there in verse 33, and we'll read verses 33 and 36 and finish up with this. It says that they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. I mean, I don't think that they whispered this, do you? And hath appeared to Simon, which was Peter, and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. They came, they were totally different from how they were earlier in that journey. And they were excited about what Christ had done in their lives. And so I just say this to you, Christian, brother or sister in Christ, maybe something has got you down. Maybe something has just overwhelmed you. Well, we all get there. I get there. Listen, we begin to worry and we wonder how this is all going to play out. And we look at our freedoms as Americans look like they're going to be taken away more and more. And what's going to happen? How's this all going to play out? Listen, folks, we just need to just kind of steady ourselves, get into that word, spend time with the Lord in prayer, and it'll be amazing what he will do in your heart and in my heart. He'll just lift us up, and we'll have this fellowship with him. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with his Son, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. We have this fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're walking alongside him, listen, it doesn't really matter what plays out. We're with the Lord. And we have this, this joy inside of us that makes us useful for him. May we begin to have that. May we begin to walk with him. If some of you are going through some things, I just encourage you to just turn it over unto the Lord. And just walk with him. Trust him. Maybe there's some sadness in your heart. Just turn it over unto Christ. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. The best decision that you can ever make, the best decision we've ever made in our lives was when we trusted Jesus Christ, who died on a cross, was buried, and rose again. He wants to come into your life and save you and give you everlasting life. This week we got to see four kids trust Christ as their Savior in VBS. What a wonderful thing that they trusted Christ. But you know what? The gospel is for everyone and not just for little kids. And if you're here today without Christ, then I hope today you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, where are you at in your journey with Christ? Are you walking with him? You know, if you're not, then just a simple step is just needed for us to just get our hearts right with him. Just come before him and seek his face and ask the Lord to forgive us and begin to walk with him again. Amen? I'd like you to bow your heads at this time, and we'll go before the Lord in prayer in just a moment with your heads bowed, even your eyes closed. I just encourage you to be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. The piano will begin to play in just a moment. But with your heads bowed, let me ask you this question. How many of you would say, Pastor Garcia, I just want to let you know that I know I'm saved. I know Christ is my personal Savior. Many years ago, or maybe even just more recently, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I know I'm going to heaven one day. Would you raise your hand and say, yes, I know that. I know that without a doubt. God bless you. What a wonderful thing it is to see so many people that know Christ as Savior. God bless you. More hands that are up. Well, maybe you couldn't raise your hand. Maybe you're here today. You don't know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. You'd say, yeah, I believe the things about God. I believe the things about Christ. But here's the thing. Was there ever a time when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for you? I grew up believing all the things about God, but I never came to know Christ until I was 19. And that's when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And all these 44 years later, I know without a doubt that I'm saved. I don't deserve it, but because the Lord's given to me eternal life. What a great thing that is. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Garcia, I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, and I'm concerned about my soul. Would you please pray for me? Is there anybody like that? You'd say, I don't know for sure if I died that I'd go to heaven. Would you please pray for me? I'm not here to embarrass you, but just want to pray for you. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you, and we ask that you'd help us. Lord, we see this account, this story that you allowed to be recorded so that we could read, and we can relate to it so much. Lord, these disciples, they didn't trust your word. They weren't walking by faith, But we're not here to condemn them because, Lord, we've done that so many times in our own lives. I know I certainly have. But fortunately and thankfully, Lord, they took a rebuke from you and they listened to you and their hearts certainly got right with you. And then you were revealed to them. Lord, that plays out so much just like in our own lives. If we'll just learn to walk with you and get into your word, we'll begin to start seeing him who is invisible, the Bible says. Help us in our walk as believers. Help us if we're falling behind or maybe we're allowing things to overwhelm us. Help us to learn to trust you, to seek your face. Lord, you're so good and you're so kind and long-suffering with every one of us. And Lord, I pray for anybody here that maybe doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that you'll work in their hearts and bring them to Christ. So we pray and ask all this in your wonderful name. Amen.